It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here to bring you our flagship show. And of course, this is coming after Bayern Munich's completely devastating 2-0 loss to Borussia Dortmund on Saturday. If you did not listen to the post-game show yet, I highly recommend that you do. I Need No Name brought you that program, and as always, after a tough loss like that, you could hear the resignation and the pain in his voice afterward. And it was a good listen. And I think he echoed a lot of things I know I was thinking during the match, because there were just so many problems with Bayern Munich. And you could see how deflated they were even entering the match. It was really tough to watch at times. And obviously, no fans are happy with the outcome, and no one is happy with the overall direction of things. Even if we did have that 3-game sequence there where, you know, it did kind of look like it might turn around a bit. Unfortunately, the first game after the international break was a complete bust. And that did not set a good tone for what is the stretch run of the season. And that's where we will start off with this show, talking about the aftermath of that loss to Borussia Dortmund. This is not a great Dortmund side by any means. So, when the game started, we did see pregame quotes come out from Thomas Tuchel saying how, you know, once the team saw that Bayer Leverkusen came back again in miraculous fashion, was able to knock off Hoffenheim in extra time, that the team was a little deflated. And Tuchel admitted as much. But the thing is, for the first 10 minutes of the game, you wouldn't have known that, because Bayern was really, I thought they were really clicking on all cylinders, applying a lot of pressure. And it seemed like that this was going to be one of those matches where Bayern was eventually going to wear down Dortmund, score 3 or 4 goals, and everybody would have walked out of that stadium happy. What we did not know was everyone would be leaving that game early because they were so frustrated with how the team looked. And that is one of the images that, if you were watching the ESPN feed, you saw people leaving the game early in the second half because it was extremely frustrating. And it was clear that Bayern Munich had no answers, no response, that they were not focused enough, not motivated enough to really do anything. It was one of the most disappointing performances I can remember in such a long time. So the first 10 minutes gave hope, but then Karim Adeyemi's goal really took the wind out of the sails of Bayern Munich. And you could see how everything on that play was the perfect combination of things to go wrong: a turnover by Thomas Müller, quick counterattack, Matthijs de Ligt getting caught out of position because of that quick counter. There was no help there from Joshua Kimmich, as he had been too far upfield. And ultimately, Adeyemi's shot was not one that really should have beaten Sven Ulreich. You could argue that that is a shot that Manuel Neuer probably saves. But either way, Ulreich should have done way better than he did with it. And that early hole absolutely sunk Bayern Munich. And it's a shame, because what that tells us is that this team's mentality is shaken and broken worse than at least I could have ever imagined. I thought the 3 games that they had, even against inferior competition, would have built up some momentum. It would have built up some confidence. But it was clear that no matter what team Bayern was playing yesterday, it was going to be a struggle. Bayern Munich was not mentally there, whether players were tired from the international break, whether the time lapse between the last game and Saturday was just too much to keep a team motivated, to keep them focused solely on the task at hand. I don't know. Was it the fact that some players were just coming back from injury? Some were maybe a little bit banged up. It's very hard to say, but one thing I do know is that a massive risk that Bayern Munich took in keeping Thomas Tuchel on as the coach was that something like this could happen, because there is a disconnect between the team and the coach. And when you need to rally around each other, you need to dig deep and play for someone or fight for someone. No matter all of the good quotes we hear some players saying about Tuchel, there is still that disconnect, and it's not going to go away. It's essentially a thing where this locker room and this coach, they can function together in a business relationship. And I think they've proven that. They can keep things on a business level. But when you need to get into a fight and you need to draw out emotion and you need to draw out anger and you need to play with a purpose and ferocity, it just doesn't look like we're going to see that. The only chance we have at seeing anything like that for the rest of the season is with the Champions League against Arsenal. And if you look at the performance against Borussia Dortmund, it's pretty hard to envision that Bayern Munich's going to be able to muster up the kind of performance and the kind of effort under Thomas Tuchel that they're going to need to have any chance against a very good Arsenal side. And I could have sat here last week and I could have told you I was feeling pretty good about Bayern Munich's chances against Arsenal, despite the fact that Arsenal is probably the better team this season. I had seen enough of the players at Bayern Munich rising up again, even against inferior competition, pulling it together, playing as a unit, playing with urgency. I had seen something there, a spark. My big misstep in assessing what was going on at the moment wasn't overlooking the opposition, because all the way through, I totally would acknowledge these were not the best of teams. But it was overlooking the fact they would have to maintain all of that positivity and everything that was going right through an international break. And it just didn't work. I mean, we had a situation, and this is an incredible example of the disconnect that is going on with the team. After the match, Thomas Tuchel talked pretty openly about how Jamal Musiala was tired and beat up from the international break, which pretty much indicates that Musiala was not ready to go, that he was not going to give his best effort. And if, in my mind, watching that game, that was one of the worst games for Musiala. All of the bad things that he had done earlier in the season, the nonsensical dribbling into people, the forced and rushed passes, the poor decisions in the final third, they all came back so quickly. And it's so difficult because he had looked so good in those previous three games at Bayern. He looked good playing for Germany. But again, all of that wear and tear caught up to him. And you have to remember, this is a kid who earlier in the season, Tuchel wouldn't take off the field. So for whatever reason, Tuchel, knowing the situation with Musiala, knowing that he did not have enough gas in the tank to give his best effort, he rode with him anyway. And it hurt the team. In another instance, we saw Alphonso Davies out there. Davies is one of the most spectacular left backs on the planet. He is a guy who just about any club would want. I sure as hell don't want to see him leave Bayern Munich. He had an awful game. Awful. He was getting beat defensively by players that should not be taking him. He didn't look like he was there. He didn't look like he was focused. Apparently drew some hate on social media, which is always stupid by anyone directing their anger toward players on social media. Had to close down his comments. But let's be honest, he didn't look like he was all there. And that doesn't mean anybody should be flocking to Instagram or X or wherever to tell him about it. But he didn't look like he was fully engaged. And that's a problem, especially for the rest of the season, because you need him fully engaged. You can't be the best Bayern Munich you can be without a top-notch, focused, and motivated Alphonso Davies. And it's totally natural for all of the stuff going on around him to take a toll. I mean, we did see his agent fire back at the club this week. This is an awkward situation for the player who most likely already has a personal agreement with Real Madrid in place. It's not good. Nothing about this season overall has been good. When you take two of Bayern's best young players, their brightest young stars, And that, to see them play so miserably against Bayern's chief rival, Borussia Dortmund, it was totally deflating as a fan to watch. And you could go on and on throughout all of the players, right? Leroy Sané continues to scuffle and struggle and show that he's just not there. And at some point, you can't keep playing him. You just can't keep rolling him out there expecting Hinrunde Sané to come back. It's not going to happen. In his mind right now, and you could see with how frustrated he was after the game being pulled out, he did not want to be out on that pitch any longer. He wanted to be anywhere but out there. He needs to clear his head, whether he's beat up, whether he's fatigued, whether he's just tired from all the mileage from Tuchel playing him so much, or whether he has completely lost all confidence in himself. It doesn't matter. Tuchel cannot continue to roll this guy out there. It's bad for him, and it's bad for the team. And we'll talk about Sané a little bit later in this show, but it is incredible that this is the tactic that's being used at this point, where Tuchel, who has nothing to lose, doesn't owe anybody anything. He cannot get out of this habit of playing the same players over and over again, knowing that they're not going to be able to give him what the team needs to win. For all of the good work Matthijs de Ligt and Eric Dier did coming into that match, they weren't as effective against Dortmund. And where you could pinpoint a lot of different things for the goals that happened. The first one, no one's going to pick Matthijs de Ligt to be able to outrun Kareem Adeyemi, but positionally, de Ligt has to do better. And he didn't. He could. It's on him. He has to make a play there, and he could not do it in a crucial match. De Ligt has to own that, and I'm sure he will. Just like I'm sure Sané and Musiala and Davies, they're all going to own their performances. But if you're not good enough on the day they need you, that's just how it goes sometimes. And now Tuchel had something working, and you can almost bet that this lineup is going to have a different look going into the next match and potentially for the Champions League, because now Tuchel, again, he's got free rein to just do what he wants. He has no connection to the club. He has no allegiances to any players. He has no tie to make sure he's making the best decisions for the club moving forward, because all Thomas Tuchel needs to do now is what Thomas Tuchel wants to do. He doesn't even need to have success. If Tuchel wants a job after Bayern, he's got a good enough reputation to go out and get one. He doesn't need Bayern Munich. And for some reason, Bayern Munich has put the trust in him to need him right now to lead this team through the rest of the season. The whole thing combined. It's combustible. It is a recipe for disaster, and I'm hoping that Bayern Munich can find some way to dig deep for each other in the locker room and pull out something that amounts to a strong finish to this season, because I know the next few weeks are going to be absolute hell watching this team if they cannot get aligned. And part of me really worries that Tuchel, because there's nobody checking him, and he has no responsibility toward the club at this point, he could just go completely off the rails and just do whatever the hell he wants to do without any regard of whether it will actually pinpoint Bayern Munich to a win. He doesn't need Bayern Munich. And this is going to be an issue, especially in the Champions League, because for as much as Tuchel wants to win and he wants to be able to go out and add another massive trophy to his resume to make himself more appealing to whatever club hires him next, no one's going to hold it against him if he flames out with what most people are now considering an inferior Bayern Munich side. I mean, let's be honest. Right now, Harry Kane, who has had a great season, is taking more hits for the season that Bayern Munich has had than Thomas Tuchel, which is insane. I mean, you can go on any social media platform and you're going to get memes and tweets and anything else ridiculing Harry Kane for making the move to Germany to a quote-unquote one-team league and still not being able to win a trophy. And all of the English, and I know we have some English listeners out there, a lot of people over in England are loving that. And it's a shame because, listen, Kane, another player who was terrible against Dortmund, maybe his worst effort in a Bayern Munich kit. But he's not the reason Bayern Munich is in this predicament. And for as many times as I've been frustrated with him during the season, and I've been a little bit harder on him than others, without him, Bayern Munich would be nowhere near a top four team in the league. I mean, we're talking like, I'm not saying that Bayern Munich would be relegated, but I'm thinking like 6, 7, 8 position. And I don't even think it's close at this point, because Kane is that good. He can be that kind of player. But unfortunately for him, this move did not work out the way he wanted it to. I think at a bare minimum, Harry Kane was thinking, I'm at least going to get the Meisterschale. I'm at least going to hold that trophy, and that will be on my personal CV. And then I can shake this stupid trophy-less wrap that's been hung around my neck for years now. Well, Harry, not going to happen at this point. So where does it all go? Does Bayern Munich really have any hope against Arsenal in the Champions League? Right now, maybe more so than at any point in the season, I'm worried. I'm worried that Bayern Munich is mentally fatigued from everything. I think physically they're fatigued and beat up. There's no doubt in my mind. Some of the players right now are worse than others in terms of how they're feeling physically. But mentally, this is an incredibly tough period for Bayern Munich. And to face an Arsenal team in the coming weeks, that's going to be really difficult. Unless you have a Leroy Sané, who is at the top of his game, a Jamal Musiala, who is healthy and focused, an Alphonso Davies, who is ready to prove that he can be the best left back in the world, a Harry Kane, who's not just banged up, who's not just recovering from being banged up, but one who is active and in the box and making things happen. He just wasn't as active against Borussia Dortmund. It wasn't because he was coming off of an injury and maybe he wasn't 100% well, or was this just another one of those games from Harry Kane where we couldn't see him get involved because he doesn't have the kind of players surrounding him that a normal target man type striker, which is exactly what Bayern Munich bought him to be. Does he not have the players around him to be able to help him function in the best way possible? And I think it's legitimate to worry about that, because we saw this with Robert Lewandowski when the focus shifted under Julian Nagelsmann to featuring players like Gnabry and Sané and Musiala as the goal scorers. And quite frankly, Lewandowski is more of the window dressing. But now you have Kane in a somewhat similar position, playing with the same players, who is not getting the type of service that he needs, who's not getting the opportunities that he deserves as a striker of his caliber. It's concerning. And I do think mentally, this team has some big problems that it's going to face in the coming weeks. They're going to have to rally and really pull it together to face a pesky Heidenheim team. They're going to have to be at the top of their mental and physical game to take on Arsenal. Do they have enough in the tank to really dig down deep, band together, and make a run at Arsenal? You're going to have a hard time finding any Bayern Munich fan to feel really confident about that matchup at this moment. I'm probably one of the few that doesn't feel like Bayern is going to get completely run off the field in this one, but my confidence in the team has been shaken a little bit just based on the level of effort that we saw on Saturday against Borussia Dortmund. How everything that looked like it was coming together for a couple of weeks just looked like it fell apart out of nowhere, using roughly the same players. Now, you could argue that missing Alexander Pavlovic and replacing him with Konrad Laimer was a problem, and it sure as hell was. Laimer, for as much as I like his game as an individual player and how I like his ferocity and how aggressive he is and how he will throw his whole body into tackles and how he's always eager and willing to push forward, he just doesn't fit this Bayern Munich team. And when he plays in the midfield, it always feels like he's out of place, that he doesn't just quite fit what the rest of the team is doing. And I think it's incredibly difficult to understand that, because This is a guy who Julian Nagelsmann wanted, who Julian Nagelsmann had an idea for. Then Julian Nagelsmann got sacked. And all of a sudden, Leimer was on his way to Bayern Munich without anyone really to be his advocate. So he spent part of this season at midfield, another part at right back, but he's never really settled in anywhere. And every time we see him now, his performances look more and more uneven. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it, because he simply just does not look like a fit. Sometimes, some moments, even within the same game, some moments he looks great. And for every one great moment he has, there are six or seven questionable ones that follow. And if Alexander Pavlovich is not back and he's not ready, does anybody think that Konrad Leimer is going to be the midfielder that can help Bayern Munich slow down Arsenal? And my answer to that is no. And I never in a million years thought I'd be sitting here hoping for a young kid like Pavlovich, praying that that kid is healthy to give Bayern a chance. But I think they need him. And I think Tuchel maybe mistakenly or just by accident uncovered something in having Pavlovich and Goretzka work together and play together. It seemed like there was something really good there. But as soon as Pavlovich was taken out of the mix, it seemed like Goretzka and all of the positioning that he had used and played in the previous three games and how he functioned on the pitch, it all went out the window. And there was absolutely nothing in sync between Goretzka and Leimer throughout that Borussia Dortmund match. So in my mind, I'm nowhere near as confident at this point in Bayern Munich being able to knock off Arsenal. And I'm not saying it can't happen, because I'm going to hold that belief, because I still believe this is an extremely talented Bayern Munich side. But with each passing day, I look at how this team interacts. And if you take one of the key cogs out or one of those key cogs just isn't feeling right, it could potentially throw the whole thing off. And having Pavlovich, having Neuer, having even Rafael Guerrero, who is functioning well as part of that unit, it would have made a massive difference against Borussia Dortmund. So if Bayern does get Pavlovich back healthy, if they do get Neuer back healthy, I'm not going to rule out that Bayern can still do the unthinkable here. But it's going to have to be in near perfect conditions, and this team's going to have to dig deep within itself and figure out a way to play through this adversity that it's facing. And honestly, this is adversity. This team is not aligned with the coach. There's a lot of ill will between the locker room and the coach. No one's going to talk about it. No one's going to say anything bad. One side's not going to dog the other one at this point. But you can't deny that through everything that has occurred this season, that it's going to be very difficult for the team at this stage, knowing they're eliminated from the Bundesliga, to be able to band together and figure this out. This is typically when we see teams totally crumble. So Bayern Munich and its players will have a lot to prove, not just to the fans, but also to Max Eberl, who is no doubt taking copious notes of what players are doing, how they're reacting to this, and if they will be back for the future. Because Eberl, maybe more than anyone else, is going to be in the spotlight. He's going to have to hire a new coach, and good luck with that. We'll talk about why that's going to be hard in a little bit. But he's going to have to do that, and he's going to have to figure out this roster. Who stays, who goes, who deserves a new extension? It's not going to be easy. So for the players, I worry. Are they doing enough? Are they showing enough to make Max Eberl believe? And if he doesn't believe, what can he do to get the players he thinks will work? It's a great question. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch play out, because this could be the craziest summer in recent memory for Bayern Munich. And we've had some crazy ones, let's be honest. So I don't know. How do I feel about Bayern Munich versus Arsenal? I'm still going to hang in there with the Bavarians, because that's what I do. But it's getting harder every day. That's what she said. Okay, I sorry about that. Okay, I had to. I don't know why. I actually teed myself up accidentally. I'm a moron. That's the bottom line. I want to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. And a couple of things that have really come to the forefront I wanted to talk about. concerning Leroy Sané and also Bayern Munich's upcoming coaching search. So hang with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Bavarian Podcast Work Show. This is Chuck Smith. Thanks for hanging in there. Hope you enjoyed that first segment where we kind of cried in our beers a little bit about Bayern Munich's woeful showing against Borussia Dortmund and also its fading chances against Arsenal in the Champions League. It was not really one for the faint of heart. I mean, you really could have played, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, you know, all of that. That could have been just playing on loop in the background. Oh. Trust me, I've been thinking that for a couple of days now. It's not been great, but what are you going to do? We have to push forward and move on. But one person who I did want to discuss, because this is something that's probably oh so crucial to the near future of this club, is whether or not Bayern Munich signs Leroy Sané to a contract extension. Now, if you would have asked fans back in October or November, or September, anytime in the first half of the season, if Bayern Munich should ink Leroy Sané to a contract extension, it would have been a resounding hell yeah from everybody, because Sané was maybe the best player on earth at that point, slicing and dicing through any defense in front of him, working in this just incredibly cohesive partnership with Harry Kane. It looked like Bayern Munich might have the best duo on the planet. And then it all fell apart. And you could see it happening right around mid-November. We started to see a drop in form from Sané. We started to see a huge drop in confidence. And then it just snowballed and snowballed. And now you have this ice boulder rolling down a hill in an avalanche at about 200 miles an hour, because Sané has so quickly gone off the tracks here. I don't know if there's any saving him for this season. His act upon being removed from the game was speculated and talked about on social media. And I'm not going to read too much into it, because I do believe that he is incredibly frustrated with himself, and that he's essentially at that moment was saying to himself, like, what in the F am I doing? How did it get this bad? I don't necessarily think he was bitter at Tuchel for taking him out. I mean, it'd be pretty hard to justify keeping him in. But I think he had this moment of really awareness. And he had this moment of self-awareness where he just realized this is bad. And I don't even know how to change it. And that's concerning. But if you look at his history, I mean, this is kind of what we've seen from Leroy Sané at Bayern Munich since he's been here. Coming into his what ended up being about an 18-month courtship, I wasn't too thrilled about Leroy Sané, because I didn't love everything I had seen from him, everything I had read about him. I wasn't necessarily anti-signing him, but I absolutely was not ready to anoint him the next Arjen Robben or Franck Ribéry. Okay, I probably would have anointed him the next Serge Gnabry, as I almost slipped in there. But really, when people talked about Sané, it was mostly comparing him to Robin and Ribéry, who are absolute legends. And I'll be honest, I think if I was against the Sané move completely, I'd be proven wrong, because he's been a very solid player. He's been a very good player. Inconsistent, yes. Mercurial, yes. Can get down on himself and take himself out of games, yes. Temperamental, yes. All of those things. But above all, he is a dynamic, sensational player. And I think he's done really good things at Bayern Munich, but has he done them consistently enough to warrant another massive contract? And this is where I start to question what Sané has left in the tank at Bayern Munich. What I mean by that is I don't think he's necessarily going to fold or his career's over or he's lost it somehow. I just wonder if maybe he's just too complacent now at Bayern, that when he falls into these ruts, the reason he can't climb out of them is because there's no real incentive to climb out of them. Like, you would think with Kingsley Coman and Serge Gnabry working behind you, you would always feel the pressure, that you would always feel pushed. But I don't know that Zane does, because at his best, Zane, I think, blows away Gnabry and Coman. But let's be honest, none of the three really function as the kind of wing that Bayern Munich needs when you have Harry Kane as a striker. So with Zane, I loved everything I saw from him in Hinrunde. He was fantastic. And there were moments over the course of his Bayern Munich career where I thought to myself, damn, this guy is incredible. And I, you know, one of the things I didn't think he could do was commit himself to being a two-way player, being someone that tracked back fiercely and aggressively and made plays defensively. But Hansi Flick drew that out of him. It took some really tough love, because we all know Flick probably really didn't want Zane. And there's definitely history there because of Flick's tenure with the German national team and being part of the coaching staff that left Zane at home in 2018. But Flick, for anything, any type of personal conflict or any ill feelings he might have had about Zane, he related to him enough to make him a better player, a more complete player. And Zane, after getting benched, and I believe it was a pretty infamous incident where Zane came in as a sub and then was subbed out in the same match. And it was almost like from that point under Flick that Zane really woke up and realized that he can be this dynamic two-way presence on the pitch. And he was great that way. Even in his off games offensively, he was still such a good player because of what he contributed to the team's defense, to what he could do to help thwart the other team's attack. And we saw this side of him, and I thought, man, you know what? I might not have been fully on board with Zane, but he has shown me something. He has grown as a player. He's taken these weak parts of his game, and he's improved them. And he's impressed me. And I, like any player that can change and can shake off something that was, you know, said to be one of their weaknesses and to improve that, give him a lot of credit. They win a lot of respect from me. And honestly, he turned things around in my eyes, made me a fan, because he was willing to put in the hard work, willing to change and do what was best for the team. And for a player with that much natural talent and ability, someone whose attacking skills just come so easily to him, I was really impressed. And I was thrilled to see that he made that adaptation. And that's why, honestly, I came around. But now we get to the point where Bayern Munich has to make a decision. And I'm not so sure about him right now, to be honest. Not so sure if I want to sign up for another 4 to 5 years of this. And here's why. I don't necessarily think he is the kind of winger that you need with a striker like Harry Kane, because he is Zane for all the good stuff he can do. He is absolutely more focused on his own goal scoring than, say, a striker's goal scoring or being a facilitator to a striker. I don't know if you continue to have him in that role, if it is going to lessen the effectiveness of Harry Kane. And it all gets compounded because, you know, at any given moment, Zane can go from being one of the four or five best players in the world to looking like he has no clue what he's doing out there, and that there's no way he can figure out how to get his game on track. And I'm worried that this Zane that we've been seeing, I'm not worried he'll be there for a full season. I'm not worried that he has lost it completely as a player, but I am worried that we see too much of this, so much, in fact, that we might see it for half a season or three quarters of a season or two thirds of a season, whatever figure what you want to use, it's too much. And if he can't get a handle on it and he can't turn himself around this season, I don't know that I'm beating down his door to get him to sign a new deal. And it all kind of comes back to this. Max Eberl has to make tough choices this summer. Everybody loves Zane. Everyone loves him at the club. There is no doubt in my mind that if you stack ranked players among these executives, Zane would probably be in everybody's top three or four players on this team by every executive. They love him. They want him to be a Bayern Munich player. But at some point, someone's going to have to look at Zane and say, is this what he is? Is he a highly gifted and talented player who just can't put it all together? And I am having some thoughts right now that maybe this might not work, that maybe re-upping him could be a mistake. And while we all have a couple of weeks to really figure this out, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Bayern should sign him, that they should sign up for another 4 to 5 years of the kind of play that we saw. And I have been one that has probably defended Zane too much this season because I feel like Tuchel did run him into the ground, that he put unnecessary wear and tear on his legs, that he used him too much. He didn't need to play him as much as he did. And I think that contributed to everything we're seeing now. But once physically he wasn't up to 100% or he wasn't feeling at his best, mentally his game fell apart as well. And when you have both of those things working against you, it is hard to be successful in anything in life, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a footballer, whether you're a guy like I was in my first job. I was a custodian at a school. Like, I couldn't do that if I physically and mentally wasn't good. And that's the truth. It doesn't matter what profession you have. You absolutely cannot function to the best of your ability if you're not feeling 100% physically and mentally. But I could probably go on for like 2 hours about that first job I had. Ironically, and this always gets a couple of laughs, I was hired by a priest, a guy who had, who I was an altar boy. Again, here we go. If you guys are, I'm going to throw darts at me now, but, I took a gig as a custodian. So I used to do that in between like the sports I was playing. I'm going in like sweep floors and stuff like that. Mop, really made me have an appreciation for work and learning the value of money and taught me some skills along the way too. So I've had some real oddball jobs I could go on and on about, but that was a very interesting way to start your work life. I think, yeah, I had just graduated eighth grade. And was doing a lot of landscaping that summer at the school and then transitioned to being an indoor custodian. And man, buffing floors, hated it. Hated doing that every second of it. Could deal with the mopping and the vacuuming and all of that stuff. But man, buffing the floors sucked. Totally sucked. Hated that. I don't know. Somehow I got from Leroy Zane to buffing floors when I was a ninth grader. Either way, I'm not so sure that Bayern Munich should be solely set on inking Leroy Sané. I think they need to really examine things and figure out if they can get the best out of him or if they're going to continue to get partial seasons out. Because if he can only do this and this is the best he's going to be and you're only going to get partial seasons, might not be worth it. The final thing I wanted to talk about on this Bavarian Podcast Work Show was the ongoing coaching search. And we know, of course, this is how it always works out for me. I put out the weekend warm-up, and then bang, within, you know, I don't know, a few hours, 12 hours, whatever it was, we find out that Xabi Alonso is going to stay with Bayer Leverkusen. And if you guys listen to any of my other shows, you know, like, I was in on Alonso. I thought he was the guy. I think he was really the only one that was a perfect fit. Now, Alonso is staying to 2025. Yeah, that's kind of a problem because what that told me was that he's going to obviously stay at Leverkusen another year. But in 2025, I don't think he has any intention of going to Liverpool or Bayern Munich. I think he's making a beeline right back to Spain. And he'll be the coach at Real Madrid. So Bayern Munich now has this weird thing going on with its coaching search where everybody and their mother knows that Bayern Munich wanted Xabi Alonso. And Max Eberl can say that we've known about Xabi Alonso staying at Leverkusen. That's why we haven't seriously pursued him, yada, yada, yada. I don't buy any of that. I think that they made an effort. Xabi Alonso said he is not leaving Leverkusen. I do believe they knew. But I think Bayern Munich pressed him pretty hard. And now you have this weird specter for Bayern Munich where everyone knows they want him. How the hell do you hire a coach when everybody knows that you could just be a one-year fix? Like, who wants to sign up for that gig? Well, the only thing you can really hope is that Bayern Munich mentally moves on from Xabi Alonso. If you, like me, believe that this most recent news about him means he's going to Real Madrid, because I firmly believe that. As much as I would love to see him at Bayern Munich, I think it now, with the way this would play out, I think Bayern would be his number two choice. But I think the move back to Spain is ultimately what's going to be his choice. And barring any type of epic collapse at Leverkusen next season, which there really shouldn't be, I think he's going to be able to do that pretty smoothly, because he'll still be a hot coaching candidate. And he's got the club connection at Real Madrid, just like he would at Liverpool or Bayern Munich. So where's Bayern go from here? Can they find anyone who honestly believes that the club won't at least kick the tires on Xabi Alonso in 2025? I don't know. You can't get a good candidate, that's for sure, because I would need, if I was a good head coaching candidate, I would need some real assurances that I wasn't going to be put in a one-year spot. So what does Bayern Munich do? Everyone's looking at Julian Nagelsmann right now, and they're saying, run it back, run it back, run it back. And it does have some appeal, I'll be honest. I didn't hate everything about the Nagelsmann era. I liked a lot of the things he did. I also disliked a lot of the things he did. And he might be the best fit for this team now that Xabi Alonso is out of the mix. But even Nagelsmann at this point has got to have some apprehension about taking a gig at Bayern Munich with Xabi Alonso out there. I mean, I'm theorizing he wants to go to Real Madrid, right? That's my theory. But you could easily point him to Bayern Munich in 2025. So why would Nagelsmann want to put himself in this position again? Take a job knowing that the guy that Bayern Munich really wants is going to be available next summer. It's an awful position to be in. And if I'm Nagelsmann, after my history with Bayern Munich, probably not putting myself in that spot again, because I don't want to get unceremoniously dumped a second time by the same club if not everything goes to plan in the first season. Because Xabi Alonso, if somehow Bayern doesn't win the league in the 24-25 season, they will go all out to get him. And maybe, just maybe, it's not even a battle they can win, but I can assure you, they will push and they will try, because I think everyone at the club believes in Xabi Alonso, not just because of his X's and O's or his playing in history, but what he has done and what he has built with that team and the mentality that that team shows. I mean, if you saw that Hoffenheim game between Leverkusen and Hoffenheim and how Leverkusen just pushed and pushed and pushed, even being down by a goal, that was one of the more dominant displays of football and just an incredible display of a team's never say die mentality. You could not have watched that game and come out thinking that there was a better coach in Germany right now than Xabi Alonso. And maybe in Europe. I mean, listen, people love Pep, people love Klopp, and I get it. And I'm not saying Alonso's at their level. But I'm saying in this particular season, the job with this particular team, I'll take this job that he has done over what anyone else is doing in the world right now, because it's so improbable and it's so incredible. This guy just has it, and he's connecting with these players and he's getting the most out of them. So yeah, next summer in 2025, it almost probably doesn't matter who Bayern hires, because they're going to be looking very closely at Xabi Alonso. So what do they do? Do they look at someone like Hansi Flick again, another guy with a pretty bad history at the club, a great history of results, but a bad history in how he left and how it all played out? And there's still ill will there, because we know that Uli Hoeneß really doesn't like Hansi Flick from everything that had happened at the time. What do you do? The most likely scenario at this point might be an outrageous move like Antonio Conte or Jose Mourinho, who have both been kind of poo-pooed by the Bayern brass because it's a one-year combustible deal. You could get a great year out of them for a year. Like for one season, you might get the best of those coaches and it might all click and it might all look great. But anything more than a year, you're really taking a risk. So what do they do? I mean, we've seen Herman Tiger Gerland, his name thrown about. And I got to be honest, looking at all this, I'm not so sure it's the worst name I've ever seen. I mean, he's got a connection to a lot of the players already. He's highly respected. And you might only need him for a year. I mean, at this point, if I'm Bayern Munich, I know you can't tamper. I know you can't go out and pursue someone and seek to get a coach and ink him to a deal to take over for the 25-26 season. I know you can't do that, but I think you have to have some kind of feel by talking to Alonso's agent what the realistic possibilities are for a move like that to happen. And I think Bayern's got a lot to sort out. And as we said earlier in the show, it's not just about the roster they have to sort out. It's about this coaching staff. There's a lot going on for Max Eberl and Christoph Freund to take care of. But more than anything, it's going to be very difficult to convince any good coach to come in here for a season with Alonso being out there just 1 year later. I think it's going to create a big problem for Bayern Munich. And for as appealing as the job should be to people, given the history of the club, the attitude of the club and the mentality of the club, the players that the club has, it should be a top-notch job for anyone. But I do think that most people out there that would be candidates are going to look at Xabi Alonso, and they're going to have to probably do their own research and try and find out how realistic it might be for Alonso to be out there in the summer of 25 to make the move to Bayern Munich, rendering whoever Bayern hires this season obsolete. I think it's going to be really tough to convince anyone to come into Bayern Munich this season after everything that's happened, after the debacle with Flick, the debacle with Nagelsmann, the debacle with Tuchel. I don't know how you're going to get someone to come in and then have that hanging over them with Alonso being available just 1 year later. Well, I guess I should say potentially being available just 1 year later. It's a lot to think about, a lot to ponder. I would love to hear what you guys all think about that. That will wrap up this edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. I hope you've enjoyed it. You can always get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. You can get Siler at BFW Siler. And you can get our tweetmeister, Tom Adams, at TommyAdams71. You can get all of our great writers and podcasters at BavarianFootballWorks.com. Check us out there. We've got all of the latest and greatest news on Bayern Munich and Germany. As I always say, even after a tough weekend, have a couple of beers on me. We will see you next time.